The pitch is cranked high and deep to right field. Going back is Clark. He looks up. It's gone! A game-winning walk-off grand slam for Zach Collins, and Winston-Salem wins it 8-4. Zach Collins, who played in the All-Star Futures game on Sunday, comes back to Winston-Salem and delivers the walk-off hit here on Monday as Winston-Salem wins the series against the Carolina Mudcats 3-1. He gets showered with water from his teammates, mobbed.
That is the voice of Dave Wild.
Or Joe.
Did I say Dave?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's happening to me, but
you
it's all going down.
You went to college with Dave Wild.
I did go to college with
We're
Dave.
We're visiting with Joe Wild.
We're visiting. That's the voice of Joe Wild.
The hair on the back of my neck just stood on end. That was a call.
That was. Joe Wild, congratulations. Everything's turning up Joe Wild. Look at him. He's the voice of the Dash, and now he's going to be on NBC Sports Chicago. And 7 games as we get to see the Dash live on TV right here in Chicago, which is a beautiful thing. And Joe, appreciate you taking time. Good afternoon. You are the man.
Well, I appreciate that. Dave Wild, Joe Wild, whatever you guys want to call me. I appreciate you guys having me on this afternoon.
It is most definitely our pleasure. So, hey, let's jump right to Dylan Cease last night. 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, only gave up 2 hits. Is he going to be with you for all 7 of these games, or do you think that we're going to see a bump up for Dylan Cease at some point here? What are you watching on a nightly basis with this young flamethrower?
Yeah, if I'm a betting man, I would bet on him not being with us through the entire slate of these 7 TV games. I have him probably pegged coming up to Double-A Birmingham probably in the second half of the season. I mean, he's been electric when he's been on. He's had really 1 or 2 starts where that hasn't been the case, but otherwise he's been dominant. He goes out there with no-hit stuff each and every time he steps on the mound, and we've seen it so far from him this season. This was his 3rd time facing off against the Downey's Wood Ducks, which is the Rangers' high-A affiliate, and they had given him trouble in his first 2 starts. He got the best of them last night, though, with 6 really strong innings, allowing just 2 hits, and our pitching coach, Matt Zaleski, said it best. He said in the second at-bat of the game, when his breaking ball was working, he knew that Dylan was going to be on, and that's the pleasure of watching a guy like him. He's just so talented and really a good pickup by the White Sox in that trade last July for Jose Quintana.
And in his start before that, Joe, he threw 2 innings, gave up 9 hits, 7 earned, walked 2. It was his worst start of the year. What happened between that start and last night, and what was the difference?
I think it was just execution. That's really what it came down to. And Matt Zaleski, the pitching coach for the Dash, he said that they had the same game plan, and it was just all about locating this time. And if you look back at the video for that last start against Down East before the one yesterday, he left a lot of fastballs up, and they're a really good hitting team for a minor league ball club, and they were able to just barrel up a lot of those baseballs. Yesterday, Dylan was working it really well on both sides, mixing up his pitches extremely well. He's starting to use his changeup more than he did at the beginning of the year, and last night he used it to perfection along with that curveball, and it's really that secondary stuff that you're seeing him develop even more this year, and that's why you've seen the results that he's gotten, and that's why you see the improvement from the start, that pass one against the Wood Ducks in which he gave up 8 runs and 7 earned, to last night where he just went out there and shoved.
Hey, I want to barrel up here with a decent question for you. Tell us about Basabe. Luis Basabe looks like he could be a keeper for the White Sox.
Yeah, he's been incredible for us. And I think what we're starting to see is what Rick Hahn and company saw when they acquired him for Chris Sale. And I said this earlier to somebody else, but if you look at the totality of that trade, too, with Moncada, you know, he's at the big league level right now. Kopech is waiting in the wings, and then you have Basabe. That could end up being a really huge trade for the White Sox 2 or 3 years down the line. And right now, he looks like he could become that 2020 guy at the big leagues that White Sox fans are hoping. He's healthy. Last year, he was not healthy. He had a knee injury, and he was playing through it throughout the entire campaign, and that's why the numbers were down. He's back at the high level. He's been dominating since the start. He was cooling off a little bit in the month of May, but he goes 3-for-5 yesterday, and I have no doubts he'll get back on track. And it's funny, people keep talking about our outfield and all the talented prospects we have with him and Blake Rutherford and Adolfo and Alex Call and then Joel Booker, too. I mean, he probably is the most logical guy to be bumped up to the next level once Luis Robert comes on a roster. I don't know that for certain. That's just a guess for myself. But, I mean, he's been really impressive. And another great piece of that Chris Sale deal that, yeah, it hurts right now because you see Sale pitching well for the Red Sox. But, I mean, you get him, you get Kopech, you get and then you have Moncada already. I think that could be a trade that you see pay huge dividends as the White Sox try to build a contender in the upcoming years.
Joe Weil is the voice of the Winston-Salem Dash. You can get every Winston-Salem telecast at NBC Sports Chicago. They're streamed at nbcsportschicago.com/watch live. Joe, you mentioned a ton of players there. Let's rewind back to Blake Rutherford, who right now is leading the Dash with his batting average at .318, and he came over from the Yankees, first-round pick 2016. And I've heard a lot of people talking about Blake Rutherford around the White Sox right now. They're very high on Blake. What do you like about the left-handed hitter?
Yeah, he just is. He's comfortable at the plate, and I think what happened last year was, you know, he was a young kid who got traded over from the team that he grew up loving, you know, as a child, and I think that played a lot into the struggles he had with Low A Kannapolis after being traded over to the White Sox, and he's talked about how kind of he let at bats lead into games and everything just carried over when things weren't going well. What he's doing this year is if he does have a bad game, he's taking it into the clubhouse, digesting it, but then as soon as he leaves, it's gone, and then he comes back fresh the next day. And he said that that's been huge for him. Also, he worked out with Christian Yelich in the offseason too, and that played a big role in terms of his development and in terms of not being too focused on the home runs. And I think a lot of people, you know, I've been asking, you know, where's the power with him? He does have 3 home runs, but for Blake, what's most important in his mind is the fact that he's hitting the ball hard. And that's something that Christian Yelich preached to him, and you're seeing it right now. He's currently 4th in the Carolina League in batting average with a .318 mark. He's tops on the Dash in RBIs with 30. He's done a great job spraying the ball all over the field. And I'll say this about Blake, too. He doesn't look fooled all that often at the plate. He does a good job tracking pitches and not chasing bad ones. Sure, it still happens from time to time, and that's why he's still in the minor leagues right now at the high level. But he's been really impressive at the plate. Someone who seems really in control of what's going on. He's done a good job just with the bat and gaining hits and helping out this Winston-Salem offense. But he's been really impressive. And once again, another trade piece that White Sox fans can be excited to watch come through the minor league ranks. There's so many outfield prospects to watch, and he's just one of them.
If you're falling in love with the voice of Joe Weil, you can listen to him call all the Dash games at ws-.com/broadcast. All 140 Dash games right there. One more thing on Blake Rutherford. He also has 3 triples, 8 doubles. You love that. I'm curious about the split, though, lefties versus righties. He's hitting .143 versus left-handers, Joe. Do you see that as a small sample size, or is that something that's real that he's got to get better at?
Well, I think it's something that he still has to continue to improve upon, and that's what the minor leagues are all about. It's just all about development and kind of working on that type or those types of things. You know, you look at that, obviously, you see that statistic, and it's clearly something he has to improve upon. But at the same time, you know, he's still 21 years old, and he's still learning a new level. He hadn't played at the high level before coming into this season, and you look at the totality of what he has brought so far this year, and you can't help but be impressed. And that's what's fun about watching these prospects, because you see the tantalizing talent, and then at the same time, you see stuff that they can all improve upon. And I'll bring up another example. Guy in Mike Rodolfo, he's been so impressive to watch at the plate, but you still see him swinging at pitches he probably shouldn't be swinging at. But he's still putting up the numbers. So you see these guys putting up great numbers and then also a couple of holes that they need to work on in their approach. But you look at the overall magnitude of what they're bringing each and every day, it's been really impressive. And I think that it just bodes well for the White Sox when you look at their future, that you have these guys who are putting up good numbers in the minor leagues, but also they have some things that they can still work on to get better.
May, your timing is almost perfect to be with the Winston-Salem Dash, because
I got pretty lucky.
Yeah, I mean, it's an influx of talent just when you're there, and maybe you guys will all hit the bigs together. But Mike Rodolfo, he was a player of the month guy. So, I mean, and I know he can hit the ball deep. What does he need to do to get to the next level?
I think it's just continue to refine his approach. And I'll say two things. I'll say that in terms of just not chasing pitches out of the zone. Dash hitting coach Charlie Poe has raved about the job that Adolfo has done in terms of getting better at not swinging at those pitches. But even with that, I think he can still improve upon not chasing balls out of the zone. The second thing, and this is sort of something that has luck play into it, but it's also staying healthy. The White Sox signed Miker as a 16-year-old for $1.6 billion out of the Dominican Republic. In the first couple seasons in the minor leagues, he was dealing with various injuries. And even this year, he's dealing with an injury. He's just DHing for us because he hurt his right elbow, which is his throwing elbow. So he's not allowed to play in the outfield. They're just having him DH with us right now. So I think the big thing for Miker is just making sure that he stays healthy throughout his time here in the minor leagues and just continuing to refine his approach at the plate and making sure that he's still a little bit more selective when it comes to going after pitches. It's improved a lot since he's first come into the minor leagues with the White Sox, but I think it could you could still see even more improvement when it comes to that.
Yeah, he's got the most strikeouts on the team at 46, but he's also got it on base at 400, Harry. So that's
and he's from San Pedro de Marcos, which is like the size of Highland Park, and they have 17,000 ball players that have come out of there.
Huge.
That's right.
Hey, Joe, what? Tell me about Omar Vizquel managing this team. What's he like?
No, he's been unbelievable. I'm smiling as I say this right now. I mean, he's been so great with this group. He's been great with the fans in Winston-Salem. He couldn't have a better attitude about being here in the minor leagues after spending 24 seasons playing in the big leagues and then coaching with the Tigers for 4 years. It's been an adjustment for Omar because he was in that lifestyle for so long, and he wanted to get a big league job, and he didn't get it with the Detroit Tigers when he interviewed for them. But this is something that Omar has wanted to do since his playing days. He wrote a book when he was with the Cleveland Indians, and even in that book, he talked about how he wanted to be a manager in the big leagues when he was done playing. So this is just one of those steps. And I think also, yes, he's in the minor leagues, but he's with a team that has so much talent and at a really important time with the White Sox. I think it's a perfect job for him to step into this realm. And he's learning, too. I mean, he's learning just kind of the little nuanced things that come with managing in terms of setting up BP times, infield times as well. But the players love playing for him. He keeps everything really loose, and at the same time, he's there to tell them when they need to improve on things. And because it's Omar Vizquel, they listen to it. It's really interesting hearing the infielders on this team just talk about what it's like to work with Omar, because they grew up playing positions similar to what Omar played in the big leagues, and they're sort of in awe of just what they're doing right now, and that's working with a guy that won 11 gold gloves in the major leagues. But Omar's been great with this group. He's been great just in terms of every facet of what you could ask for in a manager, and I think he really will be a manager in the big leagues at some point soon. He's got all the skills to do that. He's a great communicator. It helps that he speaks fluent English and Spanish as well, and that helps gel the personalities on this team. I'll say nothing but great things about Omar because he's been spectacular with us.
Joe, you know, the your journey personally, you are doing what it takes to get to be a broadcaster, whether you end up with the NFL or Voice of the White Sox or wherever you go. You know, you've gotten a gig right away, and you happen, like we talked about earlier in the interview, it's with, a very exciting, team with a great minor league organization. But what's the longest bus ride you have been on so far in your young career?
It goes from Winston-Salem to Wilmington. It's about 7.5 hours. Not the best ride, and it's funny. Actually, so this is my third year with the team, and I was the number two broadcaster the first 2 years, and we took it after a night game, and I believe it was an extra inning game as well. So the game ended at, I think it was 11 o'clock, and then we take this 7.5 hour bus ride from Wilmington, Delaware to Winston-Salem. So we roll in it at I think it was 6:30 or something like that, and, everyone's completely exhausted. It was also my first road trip, so I forgot to bring a pillow with me. So
Rookie mistake,
exactly.
Joe.
So I was head on the window, trying to fall asleep, and but I couldn't do it. So I was exhausted when we rolled in. We're actually pretty fortunate in the Carolina League that that's the worst it gets, because I've heard I've heard stories of 14-hour bus rides. 8 hours, you know what? You just have to wear it when it happens. But compared to what it could be, I'll certainly take it.
Is that like row 7 on the bus? I love the bus. I'm a huge fan of a good bus ride. Uh-huh. You get on.
By the way, in England, they call it the coach.
You don't have to. You have nothing to do other than be on your phone, take a nap, have a little. You're going to stop at the gas station, get yourself a little snack. It's a beautiful thing.
Buses suck.
I have no sympathy for young Joe or even Omar being in the big leagues 24 could perhaps end up in the Hall of Fame. That's a little bit different. But for young Joe, you should cherish every moment on that bus, Joe. That's from me to you.
Oh, no, and I certainly do.
See?
And it is fun to see the coaches and players yell at each other and interact with them. And listen, the thing is, on most trips, unless my broadcast assistant comes with me, I get a full row. So I get to stretch the legs out and get to chill out. So it's not too bad.
It's a beautiful thing. Joe, thanks for taking time, man. And we covered about half the things we wanted to talk about here. So we'll do it again soon. And I know the Dash got rained out today, right? You guys got a doubleheader tomorrow with Down East?
Yes, that's exactly right. Starts at 2 p.m.
Oh, man. Down East. Saturday night in Winston-Salem.
Yes.
Oh, partay.
Well, they're at Down East. Where is Down East, Joe?
So Down East is in Kinston, North Carolina. It's actually one of the smaller cities in the minor league, so it's going to be a really, really crazy night for me.
We talking Ruby Tuesdays. We going with what do we got? What are our options here?
So we got Subway and actually Waffle House is close by. So I think it's going to be one of the two here for dinner.
Dude, you're going to meet so many quality women at the Waffle House.
You got to find an Applebee's. There's got to be feeling good in the neighborhood. Come on, well, give me a Chili's. I love the road. I love those places.
I used to love Ponderosa. You get five different starches on your plate at the same time.
Get the chocolate chip waffle. It's a great look, Joe. Appreciate your time and look forward to hearing you on NBC Sports Chicago.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.